Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Matt Holmes with you on a Saturday morning. Joined on the phone now by Dave Tucker. He's the co-manager of the website Testudo Times, covering Maryland basketball and all things Maryland athletics. Dave, we appreciate you joining us.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me.
Well, Dave, obviously talking to you because later on today, Georgia Tech gets their ACC schedule started, heading up to College Park to take on the Maryland Terrapins. You know, it's interesting. Maryland has had back-to-back pretty good recruiting classes, and for whatever reason, it's not translating into wins for Mark Turgeon, especially against lower-level competition. What's going on there in College Park?
Well, Maryland's really struggled this year. They've had a lot of trouble really executing their offense. One of the biggest factors with that has been the absence of sophomore Seth Allen. He was supposed to be coming into this season running the show for Maryland as their starting point guard, but he got injured right before they started getting their practices going. And as a result, they were kind of scrambling to get a point guard in there for them. Des Wells was running point somewhat for them. And then freshman Roddy Peters was also doing a lot of the work. And since Allen has been back the last two games, Maryland has looked like a completely different team. They had a fantastic game earlier this week against North Carolina Central, and it's arguably their best game of the year, and Allen has made all the difference for them.
Okay, so Georgia Tech's not great, but they are improved over what they were last year. From North Carolina Central to Georgia Tech, what do you see happening? I mean, Georgia Tech, obviously the big storyline down here is that Robert Carter Jr., one of the big fellas down low, he's going to be out for this game, out for the next month with a torn meniscus. Can Maryland take advantage because the front court has been a problem for him?
Yeah, the front court has definitely been a problem for Maryland. That's arguably their other biggest problem this year is they've had huge defensive lapses, and they've really let front court players have very, very dominant games. And I think the combination of Robert Carter Jr. with Daniel Miller would just have been a huge, huge nightmare problem for Maryland. So without Carter Jr. in there, I think that gives Maryland a much bigger advantage and a much better shot of winning this game, especially because it's at home. But if he had still been playing and hadn't had that unfortunate meniscus injury, I think he could have presented huge nightmare problems with Maryland, especially with how dominant of a rebounder he seems to be.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Matt Holmes joined on the WadeFord.com hotline by Dave Tucker. He's the co-manager of the website TestudoTimes.com. Testudo, the name of the Maryland Terrapin mascot up there in College Park. Dave, let's talk about this. I mean, Georgia Tech is not going to see Maryland again in any major sport, probably for a very long time now that Maryland is headed off to the Big Ten. Should be called the Big 14, in my opinion, but that's neither here nor there. What's the fan base talking about? Obviously, they've had some time for this all to kind of set in.
I think the fan base reaction, it's been really kind of interesting to see it evolve over time. I think there was a very big pushback and negative attitudes toward it when it initially came out. But I think people have kind of accepted that it's going to happen. I think there's also a large segment of the fan base that is very excited about the move to the Big Ten. And Maryland is very much perceived as kind of the redheaded stepchild of the ACC, especially before the two most recent expansions happened when Maryland used to be the northernmost school in the conference. And, you know, there's that kind of emphasis of there being a Carolina bias, and a lot of Maryland fans kind of feel that way and feel like everything had to be run through Greensboro. The number of times that the ACC tournament was held in Washington, D.C. was twice in the, I believe, almost 60 or so years that Maryland was in the conference. And the ACC now announcing that they're going to be having the ACC tournament in Washington, D.C. is kind of a slap in the face of Maryland. And I think it's things like that that have kind of turned a lot of fans on to going to the Big Ten. But I think initially there was a lot of kind of negative feelings about leaving the only conference so many people have known.
You know, it's interesting. I'm one of those alums who's still not happy about the move to the Big Ten. But when you look at what the ACC has done in response, obviously there's a lawsuit about Maryland leaving. And then you look at kind of scheduling things they've done. The biggest game of the year in any sport all year long at Maryland is, of course, the home basketball game with Duke. That's not happening this year.
That's not happening this year. North Carolina is not coming to College Park this year. NC State's not coming to College Park this year. It's, you know, you can't say 100% for certain that that was done out of spite, but at the same time, when you step back and look at it, you can very much see that there was some sort of calculated measure that took place with the schedule for this coming year.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Matt Holmes joined on the WadeFord.com hotline by Dave Tucker. who covers Maryland sports for TestudoTimes.com, part of the SB Nation family of websites. Dave, you got two coaches there in basketball and football, Mark Turgeon and Randy Edsall, both third-year guys, both of them replacing longtime, long-serving alums of University of Maryland and Gary Williams and Ralph Friedgen. And both of them have really not had success yet. A lot of success, a lot more success than their predecessors on the recruiting trail. But when you look at wins and losses, it has not translated. Talk to me about not just their job security, but the sentiment within the fan base.
The sentiment within the fan base has been another thing that's very much fluctuated. Mark Turgeon had the full support of the fan base even after when that coaching search was happening. Sean Miller was talked about as a possible candidate. I think a lot of people were really hoping for that. But once Turgeon got here, a lot of people very much supported him. But when they started this season, he very much laid out the expectation that the NCAA tournament was the goal for this team. And their struggles early on have really caused a lot of people to lash out at Turgeon and very much put him or want to put him on the hot seat because they feel like this team is not meeting expectations, especially given some of the recruiting classes, like you mentioned, that they've had. With Randy Edsall, it's very, very interesting to see how the fans perceive him because it's almost like hot and cold. For example, going into the Military Bowl, a lot of people were very vocal about how the team was improving and, you know, there was a lot of bad stuff that happened, but you could see an overall forward progression. But then when they lose to Marshall, the next day everyone wants him fired. So it's very much gone back and forth. I think people can see progress that both coaches are making. Like you said, replacing someone like Gary Williams and even Ralph Friedgen, even though he had some not positive results in his last few years in College Park, despite that last 10-win season that he had. I think people are starting to come on board with them, but at the same time, you know, if something goes wrong, a lot of people are up in arms.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Matt Holmes, joined on the WadeFord.com hotline by Dave Tucker from TestudoTimes.com, talking a little Maryland-Georgia Tech basketball. You know, it's not just that Maryland's playing Georgia Tech later today, but Maryland basketball is recruiting the state of Georgia awfully hard. I mean, a few years ago, obviously, you had Landon Milbourne, who was one of Grievous Vasquez's wingmen there. You got Charles Mitchell on the roster right now, and there are more Georgians coming and being recruited by Mark Turgeon.
Yeah, the next one would be Trayvon Reed, who's a great four-star center for the 2014 class that's committed to Maryland. And then Maryland's recruiting several 2015 players in the state of Georgia. It's probably one of the largest states that they're recruiting right now. You have Jalen Brown, who's a five-star strong forward. You have Marcus Sheffield, who's another four-star strong forward. Power forward-wise, you have Shontez Davis, who's a three-star guy. And then you have some two really big centers, Daniel Giddens, who's a five-star center that just about every coach in the country would like to have on their roster in 2015. And you also have Doral Moore, who's another four-star center and very much sought after by a number of coaches across the country as well.
Is he having any success with these top recruits that you're talking about? Obviously, Trayvon Reed, a 7-1 four-star, but you start talking about five-star recruits. Has there been any success there?
Not entirely with the five-stars yet. The biggest names that Maryland was after and were pretty much the finalists for were the Harrison twins, who ended up at Kentucky. Maryland was very much in the mix with them until the very end. It kind of came down between Maryland and Kentucky, and a lot of people were really hoping that they would end up in College Park. But Mark Turgeon is doing a great job on the recruiting trail going out there, and just the fact that Maryland is in consideration for a lot of these upper echelon players, which Gary Williams really oftentimes didn't want to touch because just the nature of college recruiting and what it is, he really didn't want to be involved with it and a lot of the things and little nuances you have to do to get some of these kids into your program. But Mark Turgeon showed right away that he is willing to do those things, and Maryland, as a result, has been involved with a lot of these upper-tier guys.
And one of the other things Turgeon's doing so well, last question for Dave Tucker here on 92.9 The Game, one of the things he's done so well is reached out to, you know, the Gary Williams era. He's brought a couple ex-players back onto his bench.
He certainly has, and the biggest one is Juan Dixon, who came on and joined the staff. Juan had been hanging around College Park a lot. He'd been hanging out with the team and was kind of in the background, so to speak, and then had talked to Mark Turgeon about coaching, and Mark Turgeon wanted him to come back and finish his degree in Maryland, which he did, and as a result, he came on to the staff and is now pursuing a coaching career, but Mark Turgeon really wants him to get involved with the nitty-gritty things of coaching and start from the bottom and be able to work his way back up to the top.
All right, Dave Tucker from TestudoTimes.com previewing the Maryland-Georgia Tech game. I got to say, I was a little bit bummed that Maryland doesn't have a game down here in Atlanta this year because I go see them every time they come to play Georgia Tech. Can't be too bummed because they seem to lose in recent years every single time they come to play Georgia Tech. So hopefully it's a better result later on today in College Park.
Well, I certainly hope so, but I have to say one of my favorite games that I've ever been to was the national championship game, which did happen to be in Atlanta. So at least they've had success there when it really counts.
There you go. Dave Tucker, you find his good work on testudotimes.com. Dave, we appreciate you joining us.
No problem. My pleasure. Thank you.